these are family and friends. It's just so good to be able to connect with one another. I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your love for enabling this platform, this virtual platform, even in changing times and even as we go in and out of COVID mandates, that we can have this of connection. This platform is not just for when COVID and masks that are going on, but that we can be encouraged. I know that job schedules are changing for people, different times, and we just need the word. So I thank God for allowing us to have this. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com, where we have our Bible studies, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. So many ways that we can truly reach up and grab God, get His presence within our lives on a daily basis. We're gonna talk about that, how He is with us every moment and wants us to recognize that. I want to thank you for praying for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. Would you pray something specific? That souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of the Lord, that truly that more be added to the body of Christ. In these dark days, there are so many challenges. I'm telling you, so many people are stressing out, losing it simply because, man, I'm crumbling. The scriptures actually talks about that. And that's why we have to stay close to the Lord. I want to thank you for your giving. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. We have been blessed at Ebenezer. We've taught this scripture out of 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Look at that, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Even in this season's rising gas prices, up and down, all of these things. Hasn't God been good? There ought to be some shouts. You can just put amen in the chat. He has been good. He has been a wonderful, wonderful provider. Well, I am ready to get into the word today. I know you're going to be blessed. I'm being blessed just processing within my heart. I want us to get focused on the Lord and give Him all our praise and glory. We'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning is going to come from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with the meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his word.
Amen. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, head turn around. We come this far.
by faith. Let's sing it one more time. We've come this far by faith. We come leaning on the Lord, and we're trusting in His holy word. He never failed, never failed me yet. That's why we're singing, oh, 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 and turn around. We come this far by faith. Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. But I can truly say that my God has made a way. He never failed me yet. That's why we're saying we've come this far by faith. We come leaning, y'all help us, leaning on the Lord. And we're trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. That's why I'm singing, oh, 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 and turn around. We come this far by faith. Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. Oh, I can truly say that my God has made a way. He never failed me yet. That's why I'm singing, we've come. Come on, y'all, help me sing tonight. We come leaning on the Lord. And we're trusting in His holy word.
He never failed.
He's never failed me yet. That's why I'm singing, oh, oh, oh.
This far by faith.
I will trust in the. Anybody gonna trust Him with us?
I will trust.
Come on, anybody gonna trust Him? Oh yeah.
I will trust in the Lord.
Until I die.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. That's why we come this far by faith. We come leaning on the Lord, and we're
trusting in
His holy word. He's never failed me yet. That's why I'm saying, oh, 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 and turn around. We come this far by faith. That's why I'm singing, oh, 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 and turn around. We come this far by faith. That's why I'm singing, oh, oh, oh,
oh, yeah, yeah.
We turn around.
We come this far
by faith.
can identify with these lyrics. I just want to read them to you. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. That is my desire for you and for all of us as we grow closer to the Lord, to truly get to know him and to fulfill all the wonderful plans that he has for us. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, I thank you for your immense grace and mercy. Thank you for this day that you've made, Lord. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are looking and listening in now, Lord, that may not be saved. I pray today be their day, Lord, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. I pray for your saints that they be edified, they be lifted up, Lord, that we focus more on you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have been matriculating through this series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, it is my prayer that you truly hold on to God, that you stay close to him, that you stay in his word and stay in prayer. Today we're moving to another book, 2 Kings. I want you to focus in on that 18th chapter and the 7th verse. 2 Kings 18:7. As we're thinking about that theme, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, it reads, "The Lord was with him." That's Hezekiah. "He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him." I love that. 2 Kings 18:7. "The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him." I want to speak from a title today. God is holding your hand. God is holding your hand. In my travels, I remember going over to Rome, and there's a city-state right in the heart of Rome called the Vatican. And there, my wife and some other family members, we made our way into this beautiful place called the Sistine Chapel. There, I was able to look up and see this wonderful painting by Michelangelo, where it's called The Creation of Adam. It was created in about 1500 or so. It took 4 years to do this painting. But as I looked at the creation of Adam and God supposedly reaching out to Adam and Adam reaching back to God, it was elusive to me. It seemed like there was something missing, as if God may have been pulling his hand back, or Adam may have been going, I don't know if I want to reach out to you. And so our prayer for today is that we really be encouraged not to just reach towards God, but to realize God wants to hold our hands. And if we're saved, he is holding our hands. On time frame today of today's lesson is about 715 AD or so. And we pick up actually the southern kingdom. Just a little background, the nation of Israel here within the scriptures has really fallen apart. They have gone after their own gods. They have followed idolatry. They have king after king after king who just continues to go away from God. Theologian Wilkerson actually captures the theme of this time frame. He writes, "O Israel's 19 kings, of Israel's 19 kings, not one is righteous in God's sight. All but one of its 9 dynasties are created by murdering the previous king. In Judah, where there is only one dynasty, 8 of its 20 rulers do what is right before God. Nevertheless, Judah's collapse finally comes, resulting in the Babylonian exile." Within the midst of Judah, which is that southern kingdom, we see out of these 8 righteous kings, he really is a glorious shining light to show forth that people can still desire to walk with God. People can still desire to be drawn close to the Lord, and most importantly, to understand that God would be holding their hands. Isaiah and Micah are actually prophesying through this time, encouraging not just Hezekiah to stay focused, but the people to stay focused. As it is in that time, I believe that we're in a time that God has allowed people of God, churches. I am talking about not just the physical building, but people who are called the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to reach out, proclaim, to blow the trumpet loud, to let us know that God is holding our hands if we're saved, and if we're not saved, that He wants to hold our hands on a daily basis. Let's jump into this section of Scripture, 2 Kings 18:1. It reads, "Now it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hoshea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah." Our first point today, your journey. Your journey. Now, this is critical. This is where our background becomes very important. So many kings have come before King Hezekiah. One significant thing that we need to understand, that Hezekiah, 25 years or so around in that area, he actually becomes in a co-kingship. Therefore, he was actually ruling alongside of his father, Ahaz. Now, if you study Ahaz, I am telling you, he is one of the wicked kings ever that just decided to do it his own way, not to follow any of the mandates or commandments of the Lord, which led the people into all kinds of crazy sins. And this is the life that Hezekiah grew up in. This is what he saw. This is what his focus was at a time. But I am so glad that no matter what our backgrounds are, no matter what our issues, God can turn things around if we decide that we understand that God is holding our hands. King Hezekiah comes forth as this shining light in the midst of a dark time. And I'm just wondering, is there anybody sensing in these days, in these times of darkness, God is calling us to allow His light to shine through us as He holds our hand? Actually, in Exodus, we get an outline of what can happen with generational curses. Also can be generational blessings. Let me show you Exodus 25. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me." So generational things can be passed down. There can be things that, because the father did, the son comes forth and the daughter comes forth, and that's passed down. And because of that sin that has continued to grow within that family line, judgment must come. But this is a wonderful scripture, Exodus 26, but, somebody say but, B-U-T, you can put it in the chat, "but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." God is holding your hands. Now, this is a critical point also, because that "but" really gives us an understanding that yes, generational things can come down. Yes, you can be a part of stuff that has gotten into your mind. But when you put God first and you allow His grace and mercy come in your life, it says when that scripture again, "showing mercy to thousands of those who love Him and keep His commandments." My concern concern for this season and time will be attributed to that, those thousands that say, God, I'm going to love you in spite of my background. I'm going to seek you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Hezekiah was one of these that walked in the mercies and grace of God. God is holding your hand. Look at 2 Kings 18:3. And Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Here's another point. Do the right thing. Yes, do the right thing. Now, within this scripture, very important, he did right, not according to his physical dad at that point, would have been Ahaz. Ahaz was going wrong. He was doing going against the mandates of God. But I love this scripture. It pulls back to David. Now, we know David wasn't perfect, but because Hezekiah is a Judean king, he's of that southern kingdom, it's saying that he's following after the desires of David. And remember that a divinic line is going to go all the way to Christ. So Hezekiah is brought forth in scripture as one that decided to follow God. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Hezekiah was following in this same vein, do the right thing. Now, this is interesting. There was a song, and I was just kind of searching and just meditating, going through the scriptures, and I found this little known song. It's by this guy. His name is Bob Halligan Jr. Bob Halligan Jr. Now, his music is crazy. It has a Celtic piece to it. It also, he played and wrote lyrics for Judas Priest, and it has a rock style to it, but it also, he goes into contemporary Christian music, and he writes these lyrics. And so within these lyrics that I'm getting ready to read you, talking about do the right thing, I want you to think about how God can use you from whatever background you come from, as said before, or whatever challenges are in your life. He writes, he said, Lord, it's so hard to know how to behave. I don't think you want us to be afraid. Maybe I'm only feeling how others are thinking, but I'll be okay. Lord, I have tried, but sometimes I failed. You did so much on that cross where you were nailed. And then he goes with that chorus, Lord, help me. Do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing. You sense that within our lives, we do want to do the right thing as we are realizing God is holding our hands, even though there is so much adversity coming against us, even though the enemy wants to trip us up and make sure that we fall in a ditch, we can trust the Lord and he can keep us out of that ditch. He orders our step. We must not only talk the talk, but God wants us to walk the walk. And the only way that we can do that is by knowing that he's holding our hand. James pulled this out in James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. There are a lot of people talk about walking close to God, talk about just a closer walk with thee, but yet they're just talking and there's no action to it. Look at James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Yes, Hezekiah understood this, that there's challenges and there's struggles. He could talk about the law of God. He could talk about the commandments of God, but there must be some actions to that. James 2:20, but do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Hezekiah, being used of the Lord, staying close to God, drawing closer to the Lord, he is actually producing fruits of righteousness. Let me show you in 2 Kings 18:4. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Now this is important. You can go to 2 Chronicles and actually so much of Kings and 2 Chronicles have been devoted to this righteous king, Hezekiah, all of his reforms and all of his cleanup projects. This is a point I want you to get. Are you working for the Lord? Yes. Are you working for the Lord? I was just talking to one of the associates I connect with, and we were talking about our young people and this generation, and we were saying there's so much busyness with social media and people carrying around their phones, and we're always checking news or we're on our social accounts, and we seem so busy. We seem to always be working on something as we have our devices before our eyes. But our concern is, are we working for the Lord? Has the enemy just put a cloud of stuff to do? It seems like there is so many things to grasp our attention, so many movies, so many YouTube videos, so many Instagrams, so many social feeds, so much stuff that's out there. But I'm asking you today, as we're drawing closer to the Lord, are you working for the Lord? Hezekiah, because he realized that this walk of being with the Lord and God holding his hand was so important, that a revival is actually started in his kingdom. Yes, he starts a kingdom revival. The kings before him, as I said before, they were living in darkness. They had led the people in the darkness. But Hezekiah holds on to the God of grace and mercy, and revival actually starts within the land. He was one of the first kings of all those kings that actually began to obliterate all the altars, all the idol worshipers. This was magnanimous at the time, because there were a lot of people that were against his leadership, a lot of people that wanted to stay in sin, stay in the darkness. But Hezekiah says, I'm walking with the Lord. The Lord is holding my hand. We have to make a change. Even so, there was a bronze serpent that was actually made by Moses some 700 years before, and it was used of God then. But over that 700 years, that same picture that was God used in that time to deliver the people had actually turned to becoming an idol symbol. The people were actually worshiping that symbol instead of going to the true and living God. And therefore, Hezekiah had to make sure that it was torn up. It was obliterated. It was taken down to pieces simply so the people would not worship that. God says, I will have no other gods before me. What things in our lives need to be cleaned up? What things in our minds and in our houses, in our rooms need to be cleaned up? In our relationships need to be cleaned up, need to be thrown out and broken down, simply so that we can grow closer to the Lord and we can know that God is holding our hand. Look at 2 Kings 18 and 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Here's another point. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. In the scripture, it really brings out, it says that because he trusted in the Lord, because he put God first, his legacy, a legacy comes out of that. It's written out. There were no other kings like Hezekiah. Hezekiah was not perfect. We're going to bring that out. He had troubles. He had issues. But because he gave his heart to God, he set forth an outstanding standard of what God can do in a man and what God can do in a woman that has issues, yet they lean on God's strong arm. King Hezekiah, he actually held up the scriptures of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I love this. He shall direct your path. You need to put in the chat, direct me, God. We need to have God to direct our paths every day. He wants to order our steps. We must understand that he's holding our hands. If we would live like that, following God, what great impact would we make within our lives? How many souls would be led to God? Would our jobs change and our families change, be drawn closer to the Lord? We fail when we actually depend on things and we depend on the world more than we depend on God. Let me show you. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Saints, it is prayer time. As we have all these things that are going on with Ukraine and Russia, we've got to pray. We can't fix some stuff only by spiritual warfare. Things that are going on that we can't even see, and angels in heavenly places that are being used, ministering spirits. We need to pray and draw closer to the Lord, as said before, knowing that God is holding our hands in this season, in this time. God is calling out for more to reach up and grab his hand and walk in this life that he may be glorified. Notice this next verse, 2 Kings 18 and 6. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. I want to read that again. Please get this scripture in your heart. For he, Hezekiah, held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Here's another point. Hold fast. Would you put that in the chat? Hold, H-O-L-D, fast, F-A-S-D. Just type it, hold fast. Now this is an important word. In Hebrew, it really brings out such a beautiful meaning, a very impactful meaning. In the Hebrew, it means to hold your position or fix your gaze and not lose sight of. So this means that our attention and therefore our actions are fixed on God. I want to read that again. To hold your position or to fix your gaze and not lose sight of. So this means that our attention and therefore our actions are fixed on God. What is your attention fixed on? What is your gaze fixed on? Are you holding fast to God's word? Are you holding fast to prayer? Are you holding fast to the mandates of God? When we grasp that God is holding our hand, we can live in a way that's different than this world. It's going to be tough, and so often there are going to be distractions and fears that come our way, but we can know that just a closer walk with thee, that's what God wants for us on a day in and day out basis. David, remember Hezekiah coming from that Davidic line, he writes this powerful psalm that lets us know what it means when we can grasp that God is holding our hands. Psalms 119 and 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. What are you meditating on? 98, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Psalms 119 and 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. What is your testimony? Is your testimony that God is holding your hand? I'm telling you, verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. This is what Hezekiah was walking in. Psalms 119, 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. How is your Bible reading? How is your meditation? How is your applying the word that you read to your life? Psalms 119, 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Hezekiah loved God's word. He loved God's commandments, and he applied that to a nation. Revival is burning within the land. God is being lifted up. Psalms 119, 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God is holding your hand. Where is your direction coming from? Man, just recently with the change of presidents in the United States, we had a big push. We understood that Facebook and some social outlets were actually proliferating and putting out false narratives coming from different people and different groups. And there was a big push to wipe these things out because we recognized that there were certain groups, when they were blinded from other parts of the truth, they could get caught up and think that what was a lie was actually the truth. We realized that the enemy was working on so many hands. But please understand, as Christians, we've got to allow not politics to drive us, and not who's in the White House to drive us, and not what the economic situation to drive us, even what the worldview to drive us. We must understand that God's word is a light unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. God is ordering our steps, and he wants us to realize that he is holding our our hands. Look at this final section as we pull it together. 2 Kings 18 and 7. The Lord was with him. Don't you love that? You can put that. The Lord is with me. You can identify with that. The Lord was with Hezekiah. He prospered wherever he went. I just want to say something to you. When you are walking with the Lord and the Lord is walking with you and he's holding your hand, you're going to prosper. I'm not just saying financially that can be, but no matter whatever situation you find yourself in, you know that God is with you. God has you. He's surrounding you. And he rebelled, it said, Hezekiah against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. The enemy was coming in. Eventually, we're going to find out that Judah is going to have to go into slavery because of their idolatry. But at this point, God is walking with Hezekiah and they're able to push the enemy advances back. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. Here's our final point today, walking with the Lord. Yes, walking with the Lord. When we understand like Hezekiah that God is holding our hands, we can do some amazing things. It says, with God, all things are possible. I just wonder what you're willing to allow God to do in your life today and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There ought to be some shouts of praise. God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me for your glory. God prospered Hezekiah's way and the same manner he can prosper our ways when we recognize that he's holding our hands. I can believe that as Hezekiah was walking, he walked with a prophet of Isaiah that he said in 59:19, he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. I've seen God work in my life, and I know you've seen God work in your life, that there have been some situations and just some struggles in your life, but because you knew God was holding your hand, there was a standard that was raised up that the enemy had to flee. Well, as we prepare to conclude all of this today, I want you to know Hezekiah was a great king. He did wonderful reforms and revival was started under him, and he walked closely with the Lord holding his hand. But please understand, Hezekiah was not perfect. He had issues and he struggled, and there would be some failures in his life. So I can't leave you with Hezekiah, but let me take you to a better king. Let me take you to a greater king. Let me take you to a perfect king. You know his name. His name is Jesus the Christ, the anointed one that came from heaven to earth to walk among men, to heal the sick and raise the dead. Even so, as his disciples are around him, they're wondering, how does he operate? How can he stay so close? How does he know that God is with him and that he's holding God's hand? Philip, one of his disciples, questioned Christ. I need to see the Father. I understand what you're doing. And you're telling us about the Father. But Philip said, show us the Father. John 14:8 said, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? I'm talking about God is holding your hand. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Yes, Jesus is holding the Father's hand and the Father is holding Jesus' hand. The Father led him to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. The Father led him down the Via Della Rosa. The Father led him to a cross of Calvary where Jesus said, not my will, but let thy will be done. You know, as he prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane, all of that, he said, God, I want you to be glorified. Father, I want you to be glorified. On the cross of Calvary, he carries our sins and bears our griefs and our pains there. He is our perfect sacrifice. A God that would hang for us there. I'm talking about God is holding your hand, but there's a traumatic incident that takes place. Jesus cries out to his Father and said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It seemed that just for a moment that all of a sudden the hand was pulled back of the Father from its Son so that we could have that sacrifice for our sin. Jesus cries out, it's finished. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. But I'm telling you, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we could have that connection with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we can walk our days and understand that just a closer walk with thee. Lord, grant it if your plea. Lord, I know that you can guide me, and I recognize that you are with me in everything that I do. And I'm telling you, there ought to be some times in your life when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. There should become a shout of hallelujah and praise, because we understand God is holding our hands. Saints, as we go through this season and time, it is not time to give up. It's not time to be lazy. This is a time that we press forward in the Lord, because he's holding our hands. He is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You remember Stephen, the first martyr. He's walking so close to the Lord. The Lord is holding his hand, even so much when he comes down to that last moment of life. And he's told the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, he's put them in their place, and they're so upset. The enemy is getting ready to come at him and stone him. He says these powerful words in Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Just a closer walk with thee. God is holding our hand. Saints, I just want to encourage you. Get into the scriptures more. Pray more. Worship more. Praise more. Don't be ashamed of the presence of God. I remember when I was in the military and had just recently got married, and the military had ingrained in me. It was called no PDA, public display of affection. And I just got married, and this was in my mind. And so being married, my wife would be around from time to time, and I wouldn't really hold her hand because I didn't want to go against what they said, public display of affection. But God is saying in this season and time, man, we need to have a public display of affection. People need to know that we are close with God. And it's my concern that we've hidden our relationship with God behind walls. We've hidden our relationship with God in certain places. But when we're in the public, we hide it. We hide it. But God wants us to let it shine, let it shine. That people can know that we are real. Not hypocrites, not putting on an act that just takes place on Sunday, but the same walk we walk on Sunday, the same walk that we walk when we're looking at our Bible studies or we have those times of worship and prayer, is the same walk that we walk in front of a dying world. They need to see realness. They need to see a public display of affection to God, to know that God is holding people's hands. Man, I encourage you, as you walk through your day, hold on to God's hand tight, because he is holding on to you. If you're out there and you're saying, I want a relationship like this. I want to be able to touch a God that died for me on the cross of Calvary, that took my place, that made it possible that I can come boldly to the throne of grace for help in a time of need. I want to hold the hand with a God like that. Scripture clear: confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. God wants us to hold his hand tight, and he hold our hand tight. Oh, that he may be lifted up, that we can realize all the wonderful things that he's created us for. Man, I encourage you, saints, dig into the Lord, love on him, display his glory within your life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these scriptures today. Thank you for the life of Hezekiah. What Hezekiah couldn't do, I thank you what Jesus has already done for us. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for raising him from the dead on that third day with all power and glory. Thank you that even now he's interceding for us. God, thank you for holding our hands. Lord, thank you for saving souls, delivering, and setting free. Thank you, Lord, for times like these where your light is shining through the saints, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the connection that you've allowed us to have. Lord, we just pray right now, Father, that you be glorified, you be lifted up in everything. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.